Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh,
got it. Oh, McKinley Wright.
Breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defense of Tomlinson. Colorado is going to the NCAA tournament.
Stewart with time. Let's it go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown.
Welcome into the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by the Colorado XOs. I'm Henry Chisholm, and today we're looking at what is on the line for Colorado the rest of the way. Maybe put together a bit of like a rooting guide, who to cheer for, who to cheer against over the last, I mean, really 2 weeks of the schedule, which is kind of crazy. As it stands now, Colorado's last game is scheduled for Saturday, but they do have a game against Arizona State that needs to be made up. Well, I guess I shouldn't say needs to be, because there are actually a bunch of games that by that logic would need to be made up, but the truth is you can't make them all up. Whether that Colorado-Arizona State game gets thrown on the schedule, I'm not so sure, but we're going to talk about why that would be huge for Colorado and a whole bunch of other things today. It feels like we do this a lot, kind of like reassess where things are in the Pac-12. The reason is because things are just constantly changing because there's games every other day. And there are games today. One of them has huge implications. Yeah, I think that's fair for Colorado. The other doesn't. Oh, and actually that got postponed and I missed that news. But yeah, Oregon and USC play tonight at 7. Today's Monday, by the way. Yeah. We're going to dig into all that in just a second. But first, let me say a couple more words about the Colorado XOs, the presenting sponsor of this podcast. They are a rugby team right here in Colorado, just outside Denver in Glendale. And what they're doing is bringing in athletes from a whole bunch of different sports, like rugby, or not rugby, sorry, that is the one that doesn't work there. Football, soccer, basketball, cross country, all those. And they're trying to turn them into rugby players with the hopes of letting them make the U.S. national team, which trains at the same facilities right here in Glendale, Colorado. You can follow along with our coverage at DMVR, at thedmvr.com, the DMVR Rugby podcast, the DMVR Rugby Twitter account. Cool stuff, a lot going on, so make sure you don't miss out. Okay, so since we last spoke Saturday night, a couple more Pac-12 games went final, and more importantly, I had a chance to go through all these standings and stuff and kind of figure out what's going on. Here's what's going on. So tied for number one in the conference, USC and UCLA, both at 12-3. Then at third place, you have Oregon at 9-3, same losses, three fewer wins. And then you have Colorado at 11-6 at number four, Stanford at 10-7 behind Colorado. Colorado is the tiebreaker, if that does come into play. And here's what it would take for Colorado to get to the top. There still is a path, although it is complicated. Like I said, UCLA 12-3, USC also 12-3, Colorado 11-6. Things are not as simple as they may seem based just on those numbers, though, because as it stands now, USC has 5 games on the schedule, which means they'd finish with their full 20 games played. Actually, they have 4 on the schedule, and they have a game against Stanford listed on the schedule as March 1st through March 4th, exact date TBD. So that is on the way in that window, and that gives USC the 20th game. The reason that is big is that Colorado only has 19 games on the schedule. UCLA, I think, only has 3 games left, which would mean 18 on the schedule. And so if USC ties for the fewest number of losses, then because they've played more games, they would have the additional wins to essentially break the tie in the loss column rather than going to the traditional tiebreaker. Again, the reason that's important for Colorado is that Colorado plays USC on Thursday and already beat USC this season. So if both were to play an even number of games and finish tied, Colorado would win that tiebreaker. Because they're playing a different number of games, USC playing one more game, if they tie in the loss column, USC is going to have one more win. UCLA is the opposite, though, because they only have three games on the schedule. That's 18 played. Again, do some of those get thrown in there? Probably. As it stands right now, Colorado is supposed to have 11 days off between the end of their conference schedule and the start of the Pac-12 tournament. Arizona State has a bunch of games that need to be made up, and so who knows how high Colorado is on that priority list right now, but you'd have to think that people are looking at that. And I know that Tad has been talking about it as well. He obviously wants to get that game played because that changes everything. You know, the difference between needing three losses from USC and needing four losses from USC is pretty significant. And let's look into that schedule because we're talking about. Again, for this to really matter, Colorado just needs to win out. Colorado needs to beat USC on Thursday, beat UCLA on Saturday. Luckily, both those games are in Boulder. And if that happens, then for USC to fall behind them in the standings, assuming no changes to the schedule, USC would need to, of course, lose to Colorado and then lose three of the other four games, which are against Oregon, Utah, Stanford, and UCLA. Now, to pass UCLA, who only has three games left, you'd need UCLA to lose all three of those, and then for Colorado to obviously win out, which would give Colorado the tie in the loss column, but the win in the win column because they played one more game. UCLA's final three games, Utah, Colorado, USC. So you do need USC to beat UCLA, but you need four losses the rest of the way. So they need to lose to Oregon, Colorado, Utah, and Stanford. That'd be tough. What I will say, though, is that if the game against Arizona State is rescheduled for Colorado and Colorado wins that game, all of a sudden, assuming again you win your other two games, you would have that tiebreaker over USC. And so USC could win one more game. They could beat Oregon, beat Utah, or beat Stanford. And assuming Colorado wins out, including that game against Arizona State, then you'd be in good shape. You'd also need the win against UCLA. So you need a win against UCLA. You need a win against one of the other three. But if that win was against Oregon, then that could cause some problems too. Because Oregon at 9-3 is in just such a weird place. Very much alive in the conference title race. With a couple of losses, things could get ugly. As of right now, they have four games left on the schedule, including one against USC. We mentioned that. If they win all of those, they'd go 13-3, which could be good enough. It could not be good enough. As it stands right now, there are two teams tied for the lead at 12-3. So it kind of would just depend on what they do. If they drop a game, I do think that would probably be it. I guess USC could probably drop one and win the rest and be just fine, but it'd be close and we don't really care. However, Oregon, again, let's go back to that USC game because you kind of have to pick a side here. And again, this game is this afternoon. Actually tonight it's at 7. But this is kind of the first piece that could change the outlook for Colorado. And to decide who you want to win, you kind of need to decide what your priorities are. If you're just looking for the best possible seed, losses for Oregon are probably what's most important because that's the team that's right in front of you in the standings. At the same time, though, if Colorado does get to number 3 instead of number 4, which is where they're sitting now, they would play the winner of number 6 and number 11, which sounds better than just playing number 5, which is what would happen if you're the number 4 seed, and you'd still get a bye. But when you look at who those teams are, things get complicated. Right now, number six, not counting Arizona because they can't play, is Oregon State. Number 12 is Cal. You'd like your chances against either of those teams, but you've already beaten Stanford twice this season, and so playing that Stanford team might sound better, and that's what would happen if you get the four seed instead of the number three seed. Again, if you're looking for Colorado to win the conference, you probably want Oregon to win this one just so you can start those USC losses going. But then you do need some losses from Oregon down the stretch to teams like Stanford, Cal, and Oregon State. I mean, you're on the road for all those games, including the USC game today, so anything is possible. But finding those losses in there is going to be tough. Let's just say the schedule does not change at all and Colorado wins out. Then if Oregon finishes 2-2 in the four scheduled games, then Oregon would be just in front of Colorado in the final standings. However, if Oregon goes 2-2 in those remaining games and Colorado wins out, including a win over Arizona State, then Colorado would leapfrog Oregon. So that's kind of what you're looking at. You get two losses from Oregon, you're going to need three wins the rest of the way. You get three losses, you're only going to need those two. You can win out with the current schedule and pass Oregon. Is Oregon going to go 1-3? Seems unlikely. Is Oregon going to give you a win over USC and then lose to... and then lose to Stanford, Cal, and Oregon State? Again, seems really unlikely. So it's a tough situation. And you can go back and forth and try to find, I'm pretty sure we decided that Colorado has a path, even if they don't get that game added, but they need a bunch of losses from, or you could get one win from USC. So for example, if USC beats Oregon, then they could lose to Colorado, lose to Utah, lose to Stanford, and then lose to UCLA, and Colorado would pass them. But then could UCLA lose enough games for Colorado to pass them? I don't think so. No, because they need that. No, that would work. So there really is a path either way, and tonight will just kind of set in motion what matters the rest of the way. More than anything, the big takeaway from this should be Colorado needs to get that Arizona State game rescheduled and then needs to win. And the good news is I think Arizona State's probably looking for games too. Let's see here. They're at 4-8 now. They did lose their last two. They're probably, they're not finding a way into the tournament unless they win the whole thing. Cause what did we decide? We haven't looked at their schedule, but even if they did get six games in, that'd be a lot. They win five, then their total record is 12-12. That's not getting a team into the NCAA tournament. You're probably not getting much help from Arizona State in that game schedule, but that is the big thing. And that is the path to number one right now. And just to clarify that path one more time, make it as clear as possible. If there are no schedule changes the rest of the way, Colorado needs to win both of its games. And then you need USC to finish 1-4 in their five remaining games, including that one against Colorado. You need UCLA to finish 0-3, including the game against Colorado. And you need Oregon to finish 1-3. So again, that's 1-4, 0-3, 1-3 for USC, UCLA, and Oregon. There's only one path for that happening, and that's obviously for Colorado to win out. And then on top of that, because you need UCLA to lose all three, that means that they need to lose next Monday, a week from today, when they play USC. And if USC needs to win that game and they need to finish 1-4, well, that means they need to go 0-4 in those other games, including Colorado. That means they need to lose their three games against Oregon, against Utah, and against Stanford. If Oregon needs to win today for Colorado to have a path to number one without any schedule changes, then they would need to finish 0-3 against Stanford, Cal, and Oregon State. Again, you're basically like picking the winners of, I think, nine games. So for those of you who bet, you've put together an 8 or 9 game parlay, you know what the odds of that happening are. What gets really interesting, though, is if Colorado can get that game with Arizona State back on that schedule. Because assuming the rest of the schedule stays the same, which honestly just isn't going to happen, the path is obviously Colorado wins out. And on top of that, instead of needing 4 losses from USC, including against Colorado, you only need 3 losses. And that means that all of a sudden they can beat Oregon, beat Utah, or beat Stanford. You still need UCLA to lose out, but now you only need 2 losses instead of 3 losses from Oregon. So for Oregon, that means that they can, first of all, beat USC today, or they can beat one of Stanford, Cal, and Oregon State. And that obviously opens things up so much more. Again, though, if you're just assuming no schedule changes, your one goal is for Colorado to win the Pac-12, you do need Oregon to beat USC tonight at 7. And I think that that's probably your best path no matter what. You're just kind of relying on Oregon to lose some games down the stretch. Now, they do have room for another game to be added. You know, they have a game on the schedule this Saturday. They have a game on the schedule next Saturday, and they have nothing in between. Does the Pac-12 try to fit one game, maybe even 2 games in that week? I would. But again, who knows what the Pac-12 in all of its wisdom will decide. There's a look at the path to number one, though. Hopefully your head doesn't hurt, because mine does, and it would be a shame if I just did that to all of us. But yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll jump back into a little bit more of this stuff, mostly just looking at the schedule and checking out what's on the way this week. Breckenridge Brewery just released a line of seltzers. I still haven't had a chance to try them, but here's why. So we first got them in the studio like a week ago. I think it was last weekend, like 8 or 9 days ago, you know, that weekend. And everybody was there. Well, not everybody. It was like everybody who had to work the Nuggets game that night, plus like a couple of others. And that was the first day that we were allowed to try those seltzers that had been sitting in the fridge. Apparently they were really good, because those guys drank all of the seltzers. And so I still haven't had a chance to try one, but I can tell you that the reviews from the rest of the people who did were incredible. They've got apple, pear, cherry, peach, berry, honeydew, so many different flavors, and they come in a beautiful Jokic-themed 15-pack. Not Jokic-themed in that Jokic is all over it. Jokic-themed in that it's 15 cans. You can get on the Breckenridge Brewery website, use the beer locator to figure out where you can pick up a 15-pack of those seltzers. Again, the reviews that I've heard have been incredible, and I'm going to be checking those out myself here pretty soon. Also, it's not quite time for the madness that is college basketball in March, but that doesn't mean the fun has to wait. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new players the chance to cash $100. New customers can bet $1 on any team to hit a 3-pointer in any basketball game again this week, and if your team makes it rain, you cash $100. That's right. All it takes is for 1 3-pointer to be hit by your chosen team to turn $1 into $100. That's a no-brainer. Even if you aren't into basketball, there's plenty of other awesome stuff happening on DraftKings Sportsbook. There's daily odds on hockey, soccer, so much more. There's daily odds boost on all sorts of stuff. And DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its customers since 2012. So they know a thing or two about big paydays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. That's promo code DNVR for new customers to get a shot at 100-1 odds on any basketball team to hit a three-point shot. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, restrictions apply. Winnings paid out in four $25 free bets. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. All right. Hopefully all that gave you a chance to like relax your brains after what we just went through in that first segment. But this part's going to be easier. Just kind of looking through the schedule. Starting with Oregon and USC tonight. USC now ranked 19th in the country. Oregon, honestly, I think a better basketball team. Now, again, the game is being played in Los Angeles, and so USC is favored by 4 points. Honestly, I'm taking Oregon in this one. Oregon's real hot, and I don't think... Let's see. Yeah, USC's coming off a loss. Oregon's won 5 straight. So that's a good sign. It is a road game for Oregon. But to this point, I mean, you look through all these records, Oregon's 4-1 on the road just sticks out like a sore thumb. I guess USC is 6-1. So that one as well. But outside of that, I guess Arizona's over 500 at 5-3. Technically UCLA 4-3, Stanford at 6-5. Like, it is tough to win games on the road in the Pac-12, as we say often. Oregon's been able to do it though. And only one other team in the conference has been able to do it the same way. And Oregon's just a real good team. I like that Oregon +4 tonight, and I do think that they probably come away with a win there. Tuesday, so tomorrow, we have Washington at Arizona State. That game doesn't really matter to us at all. I guess maybe Arizona State wins, and they're more tempted to look for more wins and maybe get into a tournament. But again, they're sitting there at 7-11 right now. It's tough to see them fighting back and making the tournament, and I'm not really sure why they'd want to be playing more games. Thursday, though, USC at Colorado. We know that's a big one. UCLA at Utah. That's another huge one. And I think that that's on the table for Utah to win. Again, they steal games at home. They're 6-3 at home this season. Can they do it against UCLA? I don't know, but I think that in terms of teams you'd like to see UCLA go on the road and have to play, you'd probably choose like Oregon first, USC, Colorado up there, maybe even Colorado ahead of USC, because at least that'd make UCLA travel. And then Stanford and Arizona, but Utah is right up next behind those guys. You know, there's a decent chance. That's all you can ask for. Oregon at Stanford on Thursday. I mean, Oregon, like I was saying, is kind of cooking. I'd take them, even though you do really want the Stanford win. If Stanford does win that, and let's say Colorado drops both this weekend, then Colorado would be sitting at 11-8. This would get Stanford to 11-7. They've got games against Oregon State, of course, the travel partner for Oregon. Again, you think that's a win. That gets them to 12-7. And then they cap off the season against Cal. That gets them to 13-7. You know, that's another one of those tough things for Colorado right now, is that Stanford plays 20 games while Colorado is scheduled for 19. And so that tiebreaker isn't going to come into effect unless Colorado gets that game against Arizona State rescheduled. So if both teams finish with 7 losses, which would mean Stanford wins out, Colorado drops one game, Stanford would move ahead of Colorado. Now, the good news is that they're almost, those two teams, locked into the 4 and 5 spots. They're playing each other in the second round of the tournament no matter what, with byes in the first round of the tournament no matter what. It definitely feels better to be number 4 instead of number 5, but feeling better and getting kind of the monkey off your back, first ever top 4 finish in the Pac-12, I mean, that's all that matters. That, and I guess you get to pick the color of your uniform if you finish ahead of Stanford in that one game. You're also, I mean, probably looking for Stanford losses because it would be good to finish top four, but does it really matter? I'm not so sure. That's kind of what we're looking at in the near future, but this game against USC is, or USC and Oregon tonight is really the big one, and that's going to set the tone for really the rest of the season, because if USC wins tonight, Colorado doesn't have a path to finishing first in the Pac-12 unless the schedule's changed, which I honestly think will happen. Will it happen in a way that includes the Colorado-Arizona State game? I'm not so sure, but I'm holding out hope, and let's say that it's plus 250, plus 300, 1 in 4 chance that that game gets added to the schedule. If I was given those odds, I'd take those odds. I'll say that. I feel like we've pretty much talked about everything there is to talk about. Colorado in a real good place in the grand scheme of things compared to their history in the Pac-12. It's going to be tough to get up to the tippy top, though, and that's fine. But I'm glad we took a day to get all on the same page before we start talking about USC and UCLA and all that stuff in the next few days. For the sake of keeping the hopes alive for Colorado, we'll be pulling for Oregon tonight. And we'll be back tomorrow, I believe, with another podcast. Not really sure what the plan will be. Maybe Wednesday we'll bring Ben on. Maybe Friday between the games. Probably both. I don't know. Appreciate all you for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow probably with more. I think they like my Colorado swag. Cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in it go, you know I'm acting bad. Holly get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. Might not swear, I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, yeah. Is pushing 180. Speeding pad competition, see you later, baby. Colorado Army, with soldiers like the Navy. Yeah. And boat is where we stationed, patiently awaiting. Whoa. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. Yeah. I'm Colorado swagging as the crowd do the wave. Look into my eyes, I can tell that you afraid. Uh-huh. Cause you know we finna hit ya, hit ya, hit ya, hit ya. Hey. You on your own now, why you watching the official? Yeah. You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. And we ain't playing with you, you can get it anytime. Yeah. It started at the scrimmage, we gon' win it at the line. Yeah. My Colorado swag in the middle of the ring. Throwing blows, knocking down team after team. I think they like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in it go, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag. Have you ever seen a Ram? I'm Boulder, Colorado. Buffalo is what I am. All the teams come and follow. When I start hit the field, the opposing crowd swallow. Cause they know I'm about to kill. He gon' feel that tomorrow. Whole team full of warriors. Got me feeling tribal. Big 12, here we come. We ain't worried about a rival. If you wanna come and get it, we'll wait for your arrival. When you hit this Folsom field, man, it's all about survival. Pray you make it, pray you make it. Yeah, you better bring your Bible. Crack back, blindside, flatline, no revival. Get them bucks, mess them up. We say we got them. If we don't, then we'll get them. Colorado swag, cause when I'm in it play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in it go, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. Cause when I'm in it play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in it go, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. I think they like, I think they like.
like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. My Colorado swag. Man, I swear I think they like my Colorado swag.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.